Welcome back. Okay, in this episode, I think I'm going to talk about a little bit about what things that have happened. They weren't very influential things, but how, after meeting Jesus at 8, there's changes I noticed as a child. Actually, there's quite a few episodes I've got to do on that. There's a few dodgy things I noticed after shaking Jesus' hand. And I'll try and tell you in the next few episodes, okay? I'm going to try to keep them to 15 minutes, 20 minutes. So I know people's patience is limited these days and time and all that sort of stuff. So, let's pray the Our Father's Prayer. It's in Matthew. You'll have to look it up if you've got a Bible. But this is it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I just realized that I might say it in other episodes slightly differently, replacing words like forgive us our trespasses with forgive us our sins. Okay? You could do that. That's all that trespasses means. I don't know what language is like in these days, your days. But anyway, let's get on with it. So at the age of 8, I met Jesus, and the angel that preceded him told me I was elect, that I belonged to Jesus. After shaking his hand, I noticed that I knew things about people. All of a sudden, people were attracted to talk to me and tell me their problems, and so I'd be a listening ear and try and help them and guide them. And at that age, you don't really know what to say when other children in classes are telling you what's going on at home, how they've got problems. And all of a sudden, it was like I knew things. You know, I knew who was sinning. I knew what sin they were doing. And I knew the liars and the cheats and the thieves and the good people and the bad people and their suffering. These days, people call it being an empath. That's the label that's been given. And, well, if it's, it doesn't really matter. And over the years, like I'm like 45 now, and so over the years I learned that I could feel people's physical pain and emotional pain, and I knew stuff about them, and so I knew what their intentions were, whether they were going to pay me or not. I'm self-employed, I work for myself, and so it's been a help over the years, but also it's been a help for me to help to help those people to try and get saved. And for a long time, people were. I can recall memories of people going to church and getting saved and influencing people, sowing seeds and watering and just helping, you know. But that's what I noticed not long after. And at that age, you kind of just blurt things out without thinking, right? And a few times I blurted things out and I wasn't thinking. People would look at me and say, "How did you know that?" So I don't know. There was one occasion when I knew one of the teachers was cheating on another teacher. You know, his wife was a teacher in the school, him and his wife, and he was cheating with one of my classmates' mums, who was a solo mum. I knew that. And I just sort of blurted it out one day. I could see them, and mate looks at me, "How did you know that?" "Nobody knows that. It was his mum that the teacher was cheating with." And I just knew things about other students. And I just sort of, "Hey, you hurt yourself at home, burnt, right? That's what the thing is. You burnt your arm at home, right? On a stove by accident. It was a hot frying pan." And she says, "How do you know that?" "I just done it last night. I haven't told anyone." And so that was the first time I had discovered what Jesus had passed on to me by shaking his hand. It was a gift to help other people to so I could be more inclusive in their hurt. And it helped bring them to salvation. And it helped, it definitely worked for a long time. But it's not that straightforward. Just because you have that, I learned that you can't bring the person to salvation straight away. What's the saying? You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And so in the parables in the Bible, when Jesus says you shine your light for all to see, that's all you can do. You can show them. You can show them the darkness. And you can listen to them and you can help them as much as you want. And live your life and just be there for them. And show them that you're a good person. And that's what I've been doing for the past, 40-odd years. I was 38, 30, 37 years since meeting him. And I've seen a lot of folks come to God, and they told me it was to help them. Wasn't me. It was God. It was Jesus. It was the gift He gave us. It was Holy Spirit. So that was one thing I noticed straight away. And another thing was visions. I started getting visions and telepathy. Like the telepathy thing was, the world soon hammered that out of me. Man, I'll say that as best I can in this short video. But the vision, the first vision I ever got, I got somewhere as I was a child sleeping. I got these really vivid dreams, man. The dreams were so vivid, it felt like I was there. You could feel the wind, you could feel the dirt under your feet, and you could feel the water and the smells and everything. And when I woke up, I thought, I didn't know what had happened. It was like I was in a whole nother world in my dream. I tell my parents about it. One of the dreams was about end of days, like the world was destroyed, and I was just carrying a sword through the streets, and there were these things that's just dead bodies everywhere and things walking around that weren't human anymore. Just, I couldn't really make out what the heck they were. They had legs and arms. I didn't know what they were. They were like distorted humans, is probably the best description I could give. They were warped and distorted and just really sores all over them. And worse than zombie. And so, and these things, the black eyes. I remember seeing these things with red eyes and black eyes. And they just sort of stayed away from me. I was carrying a sword, I didn't have to use it. They just sort of didn't bother me. And that was my first really, really vivid vision. Then, in a dream, that was my first vivid dream. Seemed like a vision. I told my grandparents and parents after that. They're a very spiritual family, military family too. And my actual vision, sitting up, I was sitting in a chair, right? We had a TV. It was a black and white TV. First black and white TV we had in the house. I remember it coming in the door and everyone was excited, and there was only like one thing that came on at that time. It was just the news. I think Shortland Street. No. Scratch that one. It wasn't that. It was Coronation Street. Was it EastEnders? No, EastEnders came after that. Coronation Street and the news. And then there was this thing on the screen, and you could listen to music like a radio for a little while. There's only like a couple of hours of TV a day. And so I remember sitting on the couch looking at this TV, and I thought a TV program was on, and Mum was wondering why I was sitting there looking at it. But I was seeing a lady on the screen giving a demonstration of a radiation machine, she called it. There was food going in one end, like a box, and a conveyor belt coming out the other side. She was putting in strawberries and fruit. And she said that this machine makes the food last twice as long. Sometimes three, 4 times longer than what they would normally last. She said it was a radiation machine. It puts radiation into the food to make the food last longer. Now, it wasn't black and white, but for some reason, I could see the strawberries were red and the watermelon was green. And I think there were apples. But the vision ended. That's all I saw. But it was in black or white, but the fruit was coming out in colour. I vividly remember her saying, this machine puts radiation out onto the food and makes it, wow. She just said it's a radiation machine that makes food last longer. I don't remember. It kind of just sort of faded away. Bub said to me, what are you watching? And I just sort of faded away and I told her. But I was getting a distinct impression it was for end of days, for bunkers and shit. And there was a lack of food. Was the sense, was the feeling I was getting looking at it. So they were making whatever food they could get last longer. And it gets shipped out places, moved places for other people, was what I was feeling as a child. You know how you see a vision, but then you can escape, then for those, because of the empathic ability, we could feel what was the meaning behind it. So when someone talks to us as an empath, because of Shook Jesus, and they'll talk to us about something, but we can also feel what they mean behind it, not just a verbal description, but an actual feeling and knowing behind the description. So that's what I was getting from that vision. I'm looking at a TV screen, and Mama says, there's nothing on there. And I said, yeah, no, there was a lady just, I explained it to her. She said, but the TV was off. She said, I could see her. She told Papa. Papa said, oh, you had a vision. It was a vision. I told him what I saw. So for a while there, they were asking me what my dreams were and didn't have any more visions. And I told them. There was a couple other ones, and then the visions kind of just sort of stopped for ages. And then I started getting things like, deja vu? It's like God was training me, giving me visions of up-and-coming things as a child for me to see in my everyday life. So I was getting these deja vus. I call them deja vu, but it was just visions of what I'm going to see in the future. So I tell my parents that. There's no point in me telling you guys. It was just about my boring life, about things that happened to me. I was getting visions about what things were going to happen to me. So that happened quite a lot. I got a lot of deja vu as a child. Kind of makes life a little bit confusing. But yeah, that was my first physical vision of sitting in a chair seeing it on a TV. My first super vivid dream, man. It was a vision dream. And then there was the telepathy. Man. Again, I was sitting in a chair in the lounge and my mum was reading a book. And I could hear her thoughts reading the book. And so I thought she was talking to me. So I'd say, oh, what's that, mum? I didn't quite get that. And she was just reading a book. She said, I didn't say anything. Oh, okay. Just sitting there just wondering what to do. Mum was still reading her book. I said, hey, you know, what was that? I heard you say something again. She said, no, I didn't say anything. And she says to me, what do you think I said? So I explained back what she said. She said, that's in my book. I was reading that. That was my thoughts. You heard my thoughts. She says, I don't know. I heard you say something. And she said, I was reading from a book. You could hear my thoughts. And I said, I suppose. And so they call it telepathy. And she told Dad. And Dad threatened to give me a hiding if I ever heard his thoughts. I said, it's not me trying. It just sort of happens. I don't even know how it happens. It just happens. And so as much as I tried to talk my way out of it, I got threatened with beatings if I heard him. And so, as all good parents do, they thought that a doctor could fix it. And word got out. She told someone, and that person knew exactly what to do. He came all the way to the house. I remember the conversation she had over the phone, big landline phones back in those days, you know, turn a dial, 1, 2, and then you got to wait, and 3, and if he balls it up, well, you got to hang up the phone and start again. So, you know, it's all of like 5 minutes just to dial a number. So, yeah, I was heard her on the phone, and she was talking to the doctor about what I did, and the doctor said that he would come out. And I could hear all this over the phone, and talking to him, and he came out and he gave her a bottle of pills. And I heard him say to her, because remember, telepathic, I was in the house, I totally knew what they were talking about. And he said to her, just tell him they're for your teeth. I took the bottle from mum and she gave me the pills and she told me to take them. I said, but are they really for my teeth? And she said, yes, they are. They'll help you with those spots on your teeth, because I have these white spots on my teeth, two front teeth. I said, they're still there. And I took them. And I was getting headaches, right? Keep getting all these headaches. And then when the teachers learned about me, because word gets around in the small community about me knowing stuff about people and knowing who was cheating on who and hearing things about people, because I'm, you know, they figured out I'm empathic by now, and now telepathic and getting visions. So I was taking the pills. It was causing headaches. Not bad, but headaches. Mum started giving me paracetamol pills to try and stave off the headaches. They weren't very bad, but there were headaches all the time because I was taking these bloody pills. I later found out that they were fluoride in pill form. In later years, I'm talking like in my 30s and 40s, I found out that those pills were fluoride pills to calcify over my pineal gland so that I don't have this connection with God. And so the headaches weren't too bad from the pills, but, one day I went to school. Oh, actually we're going in 17 minutes. Right, well, I'll tell you that in the next vision, about the thing I saw in school, and about the teachers, staff and stuff. It's quite creepy. But anyway, let's finish up Psalms 23. They're both good prayers to learn. That's why I keep saying them to you fellows. Hear them, repeat them, learn them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Okay. So, thanks for listening. Check back.